come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk with you for the next 1 hour to talk about the New York Giants and NFL football. 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number, or you can hang out with us on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat, and I will take an eye on that the entire show, answer your questions. We'll go back and forth and have some fun as well. Well, we're getting closer and closer, folks, to free agency and the draft. Free agency starts in March. The draft, obviously, at the end of April. And we're kind of in an in-between period here because the focus is going to jump to the draft with the combine coming up next week in Indianapolis. We are going out there. I can confirm that. The flights have been booked. So we'll be heading out on a Wednesday morning. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, returning Saturday night. So of all the coverage from Indianapolis, I'm already kind of in touch with a bunch of the draft experts we have on this show over the course of the year. The Rob Rangs, the Matt Millers, the Dame Bruglers. We'll try to get a couple of Giant reporters on while we're out there. Some of the national guys like Garofolo. Last year we got Bill Polian. We got Peter King. We'll try to get those guys as well. Maybe we'll get some surprises from the Giants as well as we move forward here and we go to the combine. And, you know, this is still really much in the analysis and wait and see period in terms of a lot of these draft picks because teams have the grades from the season on them already, and they've had grades on them from their in-season play and their game tape for a while now. So now they're going to take what they get at the combine, and the numbers are important. I'm not saying the 40-yard dash, the you know the short shuttle, the long shuttle, the agility drills, all that stuff's not important. It is. But that's still going to be overruled in the end by what you see on tape. To me, the two most important things you get from the combine are the interviews, where you get to know these kids one-on-one for the first time. And, you know, you'll do more of these as you go and visit the kids directly on their pro days and things like that. But the interviews are very important, and then the most important thing is the medical. You'll see how a guy like Todd Gurley, the running back, how his ACL is healing, where he is in terms of his return. Other guys that are dealing with injuries, where they are, how healthy they are. These are all things that you can evaluate the combine, and it really gives you some value when you start breaking down these prospects and who you want to pick if you're a team picking in the National Football League. And the Giants, obviously, have a very high pick. They're in the top 10, which unfortunately means their record wasn't very good last year at 6-10, but they picked 9th overall. So they should get a guy that can step in and, you know, maybe not have the impact that Odell Beckham Jr. had. Few do. The best rookie year in NFL history, but come in and make an immediate impact and help this team win some football games next year. So that's where we stand right now. The combine's in a week, and then we're really going to shift the focus next week to the draft. But this week I want to stick on free agency a little bit, and here's where I want to go. Where, as a Giant fan, do you want to see the team address their needs in free agency as opposed to waiting until the draft to address your needs there? Now, I've gone through a lot of the free agent lists. I've broken it down. I have some of the top guys at each position. And the rankings I'm going to go off of are some of the stuff in Pro Football Focus in terms of the guys available at each spot to see where you can go to get some value in free agency in the draft. Now, free agency class this year has some big-time stars. You got the DeMarco Murrays of the world. You have the Ndamukong Suhs of the world. Demaryius Thomas. Julius Thomas. Greg Hardy's another guy that's going to be out there. Darrell Revis could be a free agent, depending if the Patriots pick up his option. We'll see if they do that. Devin McCourty is a big-time safety free agent that could be out there as well. So there are a lot of guys out there that are some big names. You have Justin Houston, the pass rusher. McPhee, the outside linebacking pass rusher from the Ravens, is a big name that's out there. On the offensive line, you had guys like Orlando Franklin, the guard from Denver. Mike Iapati, the guard from the 49ers. Brian Bulaga, the tackle from the Packers. And Giant fans, I'm going to stop you right now. Don't bring up Brian Bulaga. Unless you want to spend $60 million in free agency, you're not getting Brian Bulaga. So that's not going to happen. DeMarco Murray, Mark Ingram at running back. Dez Bryant, I didn't mention him. Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin. Those are some big wide receivers that are available. So some big names out there of guys that could go somewhere. Now, in terms of strength, once you get past, to me, Jason Pierre-Paul and Greg Hardy, you have some questions at the defensive end spot. Brandon Graham is a guy that had some impact as an outside linebacking pass rusher for Philly last year, but he played limited snaps. So you wonder how that can translate to a full-time role. A guy like Brian Arakpo, who's immensely talented and is an extremely good player when he's healthy. But he's had a number of torn pecs now. He's always getting hurt. Is this a guy you can count on? On the offensive line, not the deepest, but you have some guys at the top of the groups that I think are very strong, like Iapati, Orlando Franklin, Balaga tackle. So those are guys you could talk about at the guard position. But where do you want to go in terms of free agency versus the draft? You look at the draft, the defensive line, the pass rushing group. It's a very strong defensive draft. Todd McShay had his latest mock draft over the weekend, and he talked about how this is a very, very strong defensive draft. I think his top 15 only had a couple of guys on there. So that's what you have to look at in terms of where the Giants could go with their free agent and draft plans. And frankly, I'm still not sure. I've looked at it a lot this morning, and I've tried to come to a conclusion, but I think it's a very difficult thing to figure where the Giants should go in both aspects. You know, you look at some of their major needs, and we talked about them the other day on the show. You're going to need some help at safety on defense. You might need some help on the defensive line, depending on what happens with Jason Pierre-Paul and your depth of defensive tackle. That could be an issue. Linebacker could be an issue. Devon Kennard's a long-term solution. Jameel McClain was great filling in last year. But what about John Beeson? Is he going to stay healthy? Do you have to plan for life without him if he can't be healthy in 2015, if he can't get back from that foot injury? Do you go after a young linebacker that can maybe be a playmaker for you? So I think those are things you consider too. There are a couple linebackers that could go in the top 15 in the NFL draft this year. There are defensive ends that are going to go in the top 15. There's really only one, in my opinion right now, one top 10 worthy lineman in Brandon Scherff. Does that mean you go out there and you get an offensive lineman in free agency because you're worried he might get to you at 9? Yeah, I think that's something you have to consider. I don't think you can go into this draft and say, well, you know, I'm going to wait and pick an offensive lineman that I think can start on day one, because after Scherff, I'm not sure you know for sure there is an offensive lineman that you can get in here and start on day one that's going to help this team right away. I'm not positive about that. You know, do you go in there and you put all your eggs in one basket? I want to draft this Scherff kid out of Iowa, and then if you don't get him, you know, you're up river without a paddle. You don't want that to happen. So I do think you're going to have to look at something in free agency or to at least bolster that offensive line in case you can't get that guy in the draft in the first round or even the guy in the second round that can help you. But we know where the needs are. We know the Giants need some help. I think you probably want to bring in a receiver at some point. It doesn't have to be a guy that can come in and start and be a star, but I think just some depth in that position wouldn't hurt. We talked about maybe a third down back. That's something you can probably find in the later rounds of the draft that can help you. Maybe that guy can help you in the return games too. That would be a nice thing to kind of, you know, take the place of David Wilson, whose career got cut short by that injury. So I think those are all things that you can take a look at. But I really would worry about, and again, I'm not saying I wouldn't select an offensive lineman in the first round of the draft. I would certainly consider that. But I'm not sure I would wait until then, roll the dice, and say, you know, I'm going to wait to the draft, and that's where I'm going to address my offensive line needs. Because what happens if the guy you want there in the first round isn't there? And who knows if the guy in the second round is going to be good enough? This is not a very strong guard and center draft from everything that I'm reading. Even the guards that are available in the second round, you might not be able to plug and play these guys. I'll do more work on them as the week and next week goes along, so I'm ready for the combine. But from what I understand, the interior offensive linemen in this draft are not that strong. At least that's what the experts say. So where do you go? And I think that's going to be a challenge that this Giants front office has to deal with as they move forward in this offseason. 201-939-4513. We got a full bank of calls already. Let's get to the phones early and often and go to Joe in Pennsylvania first. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, hey, I'm first grade. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
Good. In free agency, would the guy from Detroit, I don't know what his injury was, what's his name, Freeall or something like that?
Fairley?
Farrelly, yeah, that's what I mean, him. Would he be a big upgrade in starting our unit if right away if he was healthy? I don't know what his injury was. Wasn't he out the last few games?
Yeah, Nick, it wasn't anything super serious. He's a guy that should be able to come back next year and be all right. Let me look it up right now, and I can give you some good information here. According to Pro Football Focus, Joe, and I'm looking at, let me see, by position, I want defensive tackles. Interior.
That's what I'm saying. Would we be able to fit him right in there with keeping JPP?
Well, I could tell you, Nick Farrelly, in terms of interior defensive linemen last year, defensive tackles and nose tackles, by Pro Football Focus, and you can take that with a grain of salt if you want, he was ranked as the 18th best defensive tackle in the league last year. Now, he only played 300 snaps. That's because he was a rotational player and, again, because he was hurt. So that's something you do have to keep in mind. But in those 300 snaps, just to give you an example, Ndamukong Suh played 875 snaps. So his snaps were limited because of injury. But in those snaps, he was very productive, and he was ranked as the 18th best defensive tackle in the league last year in terms of production according to snaps. And he was a better pass rusher than he was a run defender, according to Pro Football Focus.
How old is he, John?
Farrelly? Let me see if I could get Nick Farrelly's age here. Nick Farrelly was born in 1988, so he turned 27 on January 11th.
Just around, he'd be right there with JPP then somewhere, right?
That's correct. And Nick Farrelly, by the way, if this is correct, I'm looking at his game log here, he did not play after week 8 when Detroit played Atlanta. Let me see if I can get that exact injury for you. I don't remember exactly what it was. Let me see here. Nick Farrelly had a knee injury. He hurt his knee in October. He returned to practice in January. They thought he might get back for the playoff game, but he ended up not returning. So it looks like he should be fine for next year.
Yeah. I said, well, you think he would be an upgrade on the line there?
Yeah.
Now he'd be and the Giants would be able to fit him in there.
Well, that's the trick. Can you fit him in salary wise? I mean, he'd be a great player to have. He's very talented. He's young. He's in his prime. So that's a guy that would certainly help you. But if you spend a lot of money there, and I think Nick Farrelly, being a 27-year-old guy in his prime, all those things that I mentioned, would want a pretty hefty salary. So the question is, would they be able to prioritize that position, spend the type of money there, and still make the improvements elsewhere that they would need to make? I think that's a decision you'd have to make. You'd have to decide that was a priority for you, and that's what you want to do, and that's a tough decision you'd have to make. I think it would be a tough one to make because I think you do need help other places, such as linebacker and safety and the offensive line. But is it impossible?
No. I was just looking there if he'd be somebody that would be the most talented and most you can get for your buck besides unless there'd be a safety or a linebacker. That's what I'm looking at. I'm thinking, John,
Well, so, you know what, Joe? I think you're phrasing it right. What you're looking for here is value. You know, you could say you want to get the best player, but if the best player costs you $10 million a year, you'd rather have the second best player at 4 or 5, where he's not as talented, but you're getting more for your buck.
How would he rank about – who's the guy we lost last year everybody wanted to keep in our defensive line?
Oh, Linval Joseph?
Yeah, how would he rank with him?
That's a great question. Let me see how Linval Joseph ranked last year according to Pro Football Focus. Where is Linval? Linval ranked 30th. He did play a lot more snaps. He played more than twice the number of snaps than Farrelly did. Because then Farrelly did get hurt end of October, missed the last 2 months of the season. Linval Joseph did play well. He was ranked pretty well, according to Pro Football Focus. But Farrelly, according to them, was more productive.
Well, that's what I mean. And Joseph got a nice salary last year in a free agency, right?
Keep in mind, though, yes, he did. He did get a very nice contract. And Jonathan Hankins, however, ranked much better than both of them. Jonathan Hankins was ranked as the seventh best defensive tackle in that regard. So,
yeah, well, I just know we might be losing some guys in the defensive line. You know, they might leak guys like Patterson and who's the other guy we have from the Eagles. I think he's under the contract.
Cohen Jenkins has one more year left, yes.
Yeah, and we might lose Kiwi or so. I'm bad on names, so whatever. I just thought he was tough there. too there, John. So, but I think where we're going to be, if we could get somebody like that, because next year I'm planning for us, you know, maybe to be way up in the 20s or last picking. So this be our last year, and like Paul says, it's always tough to get offensive linemen, so maybe we should get the best offensive lineman we could this year. So that's about it, unless you want me to go on. I was just curious where we're ranking with the in our division, John.
Yeah.
How our personnel ranks up against the other teams in our division.
Well, Joe,
there,
I would say this.
With our key players, like our corners, with JPP. I don't think there's anybody that's better than what we have. And I don't know where they finished. But I think then it comes down to coaches. If the Eagles defense finished way up there higher, or Dallas did, and look at where they went from this year. They had really nobody, and we were picked for dead last. And I don't know what their defense finished. But
yeah, I think Dallas finished somewhere in the upper teens in terms of their defensive ranking. And Joe, thanks a lot for the call. In terms of personnel. I mean, Jerry Reese said in this postseason press conference that he doesn't think the talent is that much different between the Giants and the teams in the playoffs. I think in some ways he's right. Once the offense got cooking end of the year, you know, with Eli, Odell Beckham, you know, Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, I think the skill positions of the Giants are very comparable to the teams in the division. Now, I think the Cowboys' offensive line probably sets them apart and above the Giants in that regard. I think the quarterbacks are, of course, very similar in terms of their ability to play. Beckham, Dez Bryant, you know, Victor Cruz, you know, we'll see if he comes back. Then you got, you know, Terrence Williams. You got Witten, obviously, who's been there a long time. DeMarco Murray, we'll see if he comes back to Dallas. And then defensively, you know, I think the Cowboys stayed healthier last year than the Giants. And I think that was a big difference in why they finished better than the Giants did over the course of the year. I think the Giants are much more talented at corner than the Cowboys are with Prince and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. The Cowboys don't have players on the defensive line that are close to being as good as Jason Pierre-Paul or Jonathan Hankins. Barry Church is a pretty good player at safety, but you know he's not an all-pro by any means. J.J. Wilcox struggled a little bit. Young guys still trying to figure out that position. You know, the Giants right now, we don't know who their safety is going to be. So I think defensively, I said it before last season, I'll say it again, I think the Giants still probably have the best talent in the division on defense. I mean, the Eagles aren't a defensive-oriented team. Neither is Dallas. And then Washington, you know, who I think is really going to start rebuilding their roster from scratch now. I thought it was interesting that the Redskins sent out a letter to their fans talking about building around their core players, and Robert Griffin III wasn't mentioned in those core players. I think that shows you where they're at with him moving forward. 201-939-4513. Back to the calls. Charles is in North Carolina. Charles, you're up next, pal. What's up?
Hey, John. Hey, I like the Greg Hardy, analogy, man. I'm here in Charlotte, and I get to see him play a lot. And, he's a well-rounded defensive end, man. I mean, he's stout against the run. He's a great pass rusher. And I think he's only, 25, 26 years old?
He is still very much in his prime. But, Charles, you have to pay Greg Hardy. Now, Greg Hardy today just got those charges dropped against him. So, you know, I think that's a very good sign for him, and it's probably going to, you know, allow him to play a lot more next year whenever that suspension, you know, does come conclude, whatever. So I think Greg Hardy's going to get a pretty hefty contract.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same token, yeah, technically you can't hold that over his head because he did just walk scot-free this morning.
No, exactly. No, Charles, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think he's going to get a big contract. I mean, the charges got dropped.
Yeah, but the contract he was going to get probably from the Panthers versus now he does have – that is an asterisk beside his name now. So I think he still lost, a few million with this case.
Oh, yeah, so I would say he lost a little bit, but not a ton.
A little bit. Much, but a little bit. But that being said, man, I love to have him and Pierre Paul as bookends. They're both young. They're both athletic. They're both proven.
Are you ready to dedicate $20 million a year cap space to one position?
Maybe. I mean, hey, those two guys are so impactful. They could be so impactful that, man, that would be – we hadn't had something like that since Strahan Oates. And that's just being honest with you, man. As far as the draft go, I'm not so sure. And, John, you know I was going against the grain with you, man. But I'm not so sure about the left tackle, you know, at first round or the O-line help first round draft. There's about 10 left tackles that's ranked to go in round one and round two so far in the draft. And that's without the combines and the, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you don't need a left tackle. Like, but you don't need a left tackle.
Let me finish with thought, John. Let me finish with thought. You got guys like Clemens that's slated to be a second-round pick. I watched him in the Senior Bowl. You got a few guys out there. I don't know if I want to get Sharif, how you say his name, and stick him in right tackle. I don't know if I want to do that. You know, why not get one of those second-round guys that probably be able to beat out whoever, you know, Pugh, stick Pugh at guard, and now you're good. You put Richburg back at center, and now you got a second-round grade on a tackle. He can grow into that position. He could probably start right away. You push Pugh inside the guard. Like I said, Richburg goes back to center, and you got fourth at the other guard. Now you still got Beatty. Beatty had a bounce back year last year. He didn't do bad last year at left tackle, and you pay him left tackle money. Mm-hmm. Now don't want to, fedaggle around with Beatty because he's making a ton of money this year.
Right.
You know? So that's my thing. I think we should go defense first round. I still like Shaq Thompson. I think he's an impactful guy that can change the momentum of a game. We need that impactful guy defense that can change the course of a game.
I agree with that.
Game-changing type player.
I agree with that. Look, Charles, I think you're right. Let me just say this, though. And look, if it works, your plan's a good one. But left tackle and right tackle, the way the game is played now in the college level and at the NFL level, left tackle and right tackle are two very different positions. It almost requires two different level skill sets. You know, left tackles need to be quick on their feet. They need to pass protect. Those aren't the guys who are asking to, you know, bruise and push the pile in the run game. But you do need your right tackle to do that. You're going to run right. You're going to need him to push that defensive end. Whoever plays left defensive end is usually a stronger player than who plays right defensive end in terms of size and mass. So you're going to need their right tackle to be strong and to be able to push and drive. A lot of these left tackles coming out of college, they're coming out of spread offenses, and they're coming out of offenses where they only have to pass block. So they might be all right pass blocking on that right side, but what was the biggest problem with the Giants' run game this year? You couldn't run the football. So you want to bring somebody in here that can push the pile a little bit, and I'm not sure you're going to get that if you're going to convert a left tackle to a right tackle that's a second-round pick in the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm saying that wrong, John. I'm saying that wrong. Not to correct what I'm saying that wrong. It's tackles. I don't know who's right or left.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Let me say that again. It's about 10 tackles. I'm not in front of it, but it's about 10 tackles that's slated to go in the first two rounds. I'm just saying maybe there's – you know, if my plan works, maybe we can get you go defense first round. I'm thinking Landon Collins, if Antrell don't come back, that's a playmaking potential safety right there that's probably going to play for the next 10 years for you. Or you get a Shaq Thompson who at linebacker would just pretty much be an impactful guy that you could probably stick on the outside, you know, if Beason comes back healthy and everything. Those two players, maybe a Dante Fowler at DN if we don't get a Greg Hardy or somebody to, man that other DN position. But, I think defense-wise, we was, ranked 28? We need an impactful, game-changing player, potential player on defense, and we can get a tackle second round, man. Like I said, I don't know who's right, who's left, but, get a tackle second round. He's going to have to grow in the position either way, but you can stick him at right tackle, push Pugh in at guard. I think he'll be a better guard anyway with his shorter arms. And I think you put Richburg back at center, and like I said, a healthy Schwartz, and keep Beatty at left tackle. Man, you're solving a bunch of problems and not having to, you know, bend over backwards and do a whole lot. If you go left tackle first round, let's say you get the Sharif kid, yeah, he starts right away at right tackle, whatever. But then you got a safety problem if Intro don't come back. The safeties fall off dramatically after Landon Collins.
They do. That's correct. That's correct.
You don't have anything back there. Now, you got some free agents, McCourty and a couple other guys out there, the guy from Kansas City and a few other guys. But, you know, and we still might need one of them. But, you know, at least with Collins, you know, you got a rookie. He's a first-round grade. He's a top-10 talent. And he's going to have some learning pains. But, you know, you still can maybe get a low-level free agent back there with him. Maybe bring back a Stevie Brown or something like that. But I think if you pass up on a Shaq Thompson or Landon Collins, somebody with Dante Fowler, those positions fall off dramatically after the first round versus those tackles, man. There's a ton of tackles. It's really a ton of tackles the first three rounds.
Well, Charles, right now I'm looking at Matt Miller's top 50 big board, and his top 50, he has six offensive tackles in his top 50. So you could take that for whatever you got. You have obviously the Scherf kid out of Iowa. Some people think he might actually be a better guard. The Collins kid out of LSU. Andres Pete, who's the big kid out of Stanford, who's kind of that 6'7". He's your prototypical left tackle. The TJ Clemens kid out of Pittsburgh. Cedric, I'm going to butcher this name, Ogbihu, I think, out of Texas A&M. Uh-huh. And then the sixth tackle he has there is the Eric Flowers guy out of Miami. So he has six in the top 50. So, no, I look, you can get an offensive tackle in the second round. And I in my open, I mentioned no guards and centers that you can plug and play in the second round. There are some tackles you can get. There's no question about it. I'm not arguing with that. And, look, I agree. I don't think you have to marry yourself to an offensive lineman in the first round. In fact, I said that. I think you have to go out there in free agency and shore up your offensive line. Because when you get there to nine, even if you decide you want the kid from Iowa in that spot, you want Scherf, right? That's the guy you want to pick. He might not be there. And then what do you do? I don't think any of these other tackles in the draft are worth a top 10 pick. Then you have to go defense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, man, I'm with you on that. And that was my other point, too. Right. What if he is gone? Because there's a couple of mocks that has him going 6 and 7, 8,
sure,
stuff like that. So I just think altogether, man, with Beatty making the money he's making, he better play left tackle. He better play like he played last year. You pay him too much money. And then, like I said, second round, you can't go wrong, man. Get your left get you another tackle. And that you could build around. I think it's an African guy, too. Some guy with an African name. He's out there, too, like a mid to late second round pick that could probably start at right tackle. You know, he'll probably beat out whoever. But then you fix your guard problem with pushing Pugh in.
I hear you.
Everybody, the experts have always said Pugh is projected to be a better guard than he is a right tackle anyway. So, I mean, you know, with his stature and his, you know, the shorter arms and everything, you know, you could push him in the guard. Now your guard situation is fixed. And you know, as long as Schwartz stay healthy, Richburg plays center, you know, you get some depth behind those guys. But that'll be a pretty decent line, man, going into the season, barring any crazy injuries. That'd be a pretty stout line. I would be satisfied with that O-line.
All right, Charles.
Going into next season.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, look, and I would have no problem with a defensive playmaker in line one. I would have no issue at all, whether it's a safety, a linebacker, if you think it's worth it, a defensive lineman. I'm great. I'm fine with any of that. It's a good defensive draft. The Giants need help on defense. It's going to line up well, and they can really pick, you know, considering where the Giants are in terms of their talent. And it doesn't look like there's going to be a top 10 corner there that is going to be worth a pick right now. You know, take your pick. You like Landon Collins? Take Landon Collins. You know, we'll see how he does with his numbers at the combine. That's one guy I'm going to be watching next week when we get there, how he runs and how he does on the agility drills, see how he does in coverage. You know, pick a defensive lineman. I'm fine with that. End or tackle. I'm fine with a linebacker. No problem. I'm good with all that. So the Giants have a lot of options and good ones. Elijah in Indianapolis. He's up next. Elijah, we'll be in your neck of the woods next week, pal.
Hello?
Elijah, what's up, pal?
Hey, I was going to call about free agency in the draft.
Sure, what do you got?
Free agency, I think that we should go offensive lineman because I can't really rely on a young rookie, tackle or guard. Mm-hmm. And I brought this up earlier about the linebacker situation. I promise, I believe, this is for everybody, I think the perfect linebacker, outside linebacker, he can play inside too, is Paul Dawson. I said it earlier, from TCU. He's a perfect fit for our defense. And I don't know if you look too much into him, but I think he's a perfect fit for us.
All right, let me take a look here.
That's all I have to say. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Elijah. Let me get I think I looked at that TCU linebacker before, Paul Dawson. Let me bring him up again. I'm just curious to see where they have him ranked on some of these sites that I kind of track here. 2015. Let's see what we got. Here we go. We want to go by position, and we want to go linebacker. Right now, and we'll see if he's listed outside or inside. I'm not sure where they're going to have him listed. Like he said, he played both over the course of the year. He's not listed inside, so he must be listed as an outside backer. Let's see. They have him ranked as – this is ESPN Scout, Inc. They have him ranked as the – P.J. Dawson at a TCU as the 73rd-ranked player. So that would turn him into a early to mid-third-round pick, give or take. Let's see where NFL.com has him for 2015. They actually break it down ranks by position a little bit better, which I like. And, you know, the good thing, though, is that there are a number of linebackers, and more so than last year, though C.J. Mosley ended up being a heck of a player. And we liked Mosley last year. We were just worried about him staying healthy because he was a smaller guy, didn't stay healthy much in Alabama. And that's someone that something that we were worried about, but he ended up being a heck of a player. And, you know, I said I would be worried about him because of the injuries, and I would worry about not taking him, quite frankly, and would have been a mistake. And, you know, you get him right sometimes you don't. Let's see, Mr. Dawson. NFL.com has him ranked as the fifth best linebacker. See, they have him ranked as an inside linebacker, not as an outside guy. So he can play both. So that'll be somewhere late second round, probably early first. And, you know, they have Dante Fowler listed as an outside linebacker. I see him more as a defensive end myself. So, again, with these 3-4 defenses, outside rushers, there can be a little, you know, position mix-up here. And a lot of times with the size and the measuring and the agility tests at the combine and the speed tests at the combine, that'll sometimes give you a better idea of where these guys fit in when they get to the NFL level as well. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the calls and say what's up to Phil in Montclair, New Jersey. Phil, you're up next.
Hey, what's up, John?
What's going on, Phil? How are you, pal?
All right, how you been?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm good. You know, my take is I think we should get a tackle in free agency. I know you say you don't talk to you about Bulaga, but, I mean, he's an option.
He's expensive. He's expensive.
Right. And I understand. But I really think we need to go. I got three players that the Giants could get in the draft, and we're in really good position. Number one would be the nose tackle, Danny Shelton. Second pick, Denzel Perryman. He could be come in and start at middle linebacker for us. And I got one more. I don't know if he'll get that far, but there's a wide receiver you could get in the third round if he might be his name. Green Beckham. He played for Missouri, but he.
Yeah, I don't think he's last until round three. I've heard people talk about him getting into the end of the first round.
Right.
Now, look, I have no problem picking that Shelton kid with the first pick. He's 6'2", he's 330, he's a guy you can plug in the middle, he's gonna stop the run. Now, I don't think he's going to get you big pass rush numbers now, but I don't think that's what you're looking for. He's going to be a guy
But John, he had 9 sacks this year in college.
He did. Honestly, yeah, I haven't
tackles.
Look, I have not gotten to my defensive line yet. I'm still on the offensive side of the ball. I haven't gotten the defense yet, so I haven't looked at him that closely. I'll admit that right off the bat. Just by looking at his numbers, 6'2", 330, I wouldn't think of him as much of a pass rusher, but if he had 9 sacks last year, that is pretty impressive.
But we gotta go off of what, you know, our division is a lot of running. I mean, we need players. We need middle linebackers. People can stop the run. That's what killed us this year.
No, I agree.
Safety and cornerback. I wouldn't pick the guy Collins from Alabama for what? We don't. Our problem wasn't secondary. It was pass rush and – I mean, not pass rush. Yeah, pass rush is part of the season. And run blocking the whole – I mean, run stopping the whole season was our biggest problem.
No, I agree with you. That's why I have no problem picking him with that 9th pick. If he's going to be a guy that can live in the middle next to Hankins and they can stuff the run next to each other, I'm good with that. That's fine.
That would be my idea. And then I don't know if Perryman will be there. He might. There's a good possibility he could be late first round, you know, beginning of the second round. That would be perfect for us. That guy's a bona fide middle linebacker. That's what we need. I don't like players that, like you were just saying about the outside linebackers, it's like a mix-up, because that's what Kennard is. He's more like the outside linebacker on a 3-4 type of play.
Oh, sounds like we lost him. 201, give us a call back if you want to finish up. I'll put you right back up, Phil. 201-939-4513. We'll put you right back up if you call back, Phil. Marco in Connecticut. Marco, you're up next. What's going on, man?
What's up, John?
How you doing, Marco?
I'm doing well. I was calling in today. I want to talk a little bit about free agency.
Sure.
And what I think about the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think, John, I think Antrell's role is really, really important here because for a couple of reasons. I want to see him. I think he'll come back, and he absolutely has made it clear that he wants to be a Giant. But I think now with Spags coming in, Roll and Beeson are so key with Spags. I mean, I think they could be like the ultimate extensions of that DC on the field. Very reminiscent of the 2007 08 combo, excuse me, that you had with Spags and Pierce and Spags and James Butler. And, you know, I know if Roll is not signed, and then you have Bure and Taylor are the only the only safeties that are on their contract. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And you know what? The more I've been thinking about it, Marco, I think I'm leaning in your direction only because I think it's tough to bring in two brand new safeties and then make a decision.
Right.
I think you'd love to bring a guy back like Roll, then you bring in a second guy. And you're right. You need somebody in your front seven and then your back four, back five, if you're a nickel, to line the guys up properly. And I think Anshar Roll can be that extension of Spags like you mentioned.
Yeah. And then, you know,
at the right price.
Let Matt Bure and Taylor, let them duel it out to see who's going to, you know, be that second guy there. And bring in a veteran. Bring in a veteran to bring in some depth like they did this year with Demps and, Stevie Brown there. But I think that position is pretty solid with Roll there. And I do think it's a mistake if we took a safety with his number nine pick. I hope we're not picking this high in the draft for a very long time. So to go and take a safety, unless it's an Earl Thomas type.
Right.
You know, and, you know, look at the Chiefs. They took Eric Berry, and the Bucks when they took Mark Barron. I don't know. When you're picking that high, get the most impactful pass rusher or the best offensive lineman that's there, because these are the really high-paying positions in the NFL. And if we can get someone in that spot – and keep them under a rookie contract for 3 or 4 years, I think that works in our favor.
Hey, look at Marco. After the year, what did Coach Coughlin say? We have to get better at running the ball, and we have to get better at stopping the run.
I think those
have to be your top two priorities. So you're looking offensive line. You're looking at front seven, defensive line, and linebacker. I'm with you. I wouldn't take a safety in the first round either. Now, that probably means you're going to have to address your safety position in free agency because, as Phil mentioned, we'll get Phil back up here in a second. The safety position after Landon Collins falls off a cliff a little bit. And you're probably not going to have another safety go off the board until maybe the end of the second round, early third, based on how the projections are looking right now. That could change, obviously, in the next three months before we get there. But I'm with you. And I think for that reason, you do have to bring back Roll as long as you can get him at the right price. You can't, you know, sign him to the long-term deal with a lot of guaranteed money. So the team and Roll are going to have to come to an agreement on how best to move forward with him. But I know he'd like to be back. I know the Giants love to have him back. So I think as long as they can work out the financials, I think there's a good chance he's back here next year.
Great. And, John, I think offensive line, I don't think they're that far away. Jeff Schwartz, he barely played last year.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. Offensive line or defensive line with that number nine pick, but you have free agency in the draft. You have two shots there to get a really good offensive lineman that could come in and fit in with the group that we have now. Richburg will make the jump. So that's where I'm leaning. And then – I could listen to this off the air, but I'm wondering if you're caught up with this Atlanta Falcons deal and how they might get disciplined by the league. I read this week. Is it realistic that they can actually lose a number one draft pick?
No.
They're picking ahead of us. So how would that impact where we're picking?
I don't think they would lose a number one pick. I think that would be a little strong. And, Marco, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
No problem. I don't think they'd lose a one. I think that's a little much. Could I see them losing like a three and getting a big fine or a four and getting a big fine? I could see something like that. And look, you shouldn't pipe noise it. You know, Arthur Blank, and he had a great reaction. If that's what we're doing, we should stop and we should get penalized for it. Good for him. And, you know, quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if the other teams around the league in domes that do that too. It's very easy to hide in those domes. You can put speakers in, you know, behind the benches. You can put them in the walls. You can put them a lot of different places to pump in crowd noise. And that have to just be domes either. It could be any outdoor stadium too. So I would not be shocked if other teams are doing that and the Falcons are just a team that got caught. But if they get found guilty of it, they should get punished. And I'm curious to see what the Deflategate penalties are going to be now too, because now they're saying that Ian Rappaport report a couple days before the Super Bowl that of the 12 footballs, 11 were bad, but only one was very bad. The other ones were all just like a tick under whatever the minimum amount of inflation is allowed. So we'll see how big that punishment is as well. Phil Montclair is back. Phil, sorry about that. What's up, pal?
Hey, John. Yeah, we got cut off.
That's all right, man. Denzel Perryman. Go ahead.
Yeah, Denzel Perryman.
He's a prototypical middle linebacker. I don't like the picks that we get as far as the linebackers we can draft. Like, I like Kennard. He seems like a pretty good player, but he seems more like a 3-4 outside linebacker, like somebody who could rush the passer and stuff like that. So, like, he's the type of guy we can get, or like Eric Kendricks from UCLA. I'm not sure if he's an inside linebacker. Maybe you know more about that than I do. But those guys are, like, the type of defense we run linebackers, the 4-3 linebackers. That's those are the type of players we need.
Yeah, and you know what? From what I'm reading about Perryman here, and again, I haven't done my linebackers and defensive linemen yet. This is from NFL.com, a quote from an anonymous AFC director of scouting. They have these on some of the players. I have a little higher grade on Perryman than I probably should, but we like thumpers and badasses inside, and he's both. So he's a guy that on first and second down that sounds like can stuff the run. So if he's a guy the Giants decide they like in the second round, I'd have no problem with that.
Him and Shelton would be... I mean, that would upgrade your defense. They would be the best, well, besides Haynes. He'd be your second best tackle right away, showing. And Perryman would probably be your best tackle. The guy can hit. I mean, I've seen him play. The guy's a thumper, like you just said.
Hey, look, dude, I would have no problem. Look, and I just said DeMarco, Phil. I'm sure you're listening. They need to improve running the football on offense, stopping the run on defense, and winning the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. If they use their first two picks on guys that help you do that on defense, I'm all for it. I'm all for that. No problem.
I also agree with the last call. I don't remember his name. He actually made a point. I don't think we're that far away on the line, as far as players, because if you figure you put Richbury at his natural position, like the Giants have a really bad habit of putting players that aren't in their best position. Now, we put Richbury at center, and we put Pugh at, it's not his natural position, but they say he'd be better at guard. We put Pugh at left guard.
Which we don't know. Just to be fair, Phil. We don't know if Pugh's going to be better at guard.
I'm just going off of what the original scouting report for him when I read when he first got drafted was he'd be probably better at left guard.
I think he would have. Though, Phil, I do think Pugh would have to bulk up a little bit and get a little bit stronger if he wants to be good at guard. Because right now, I'm not sure if he has the mass and the low center of gravity to get some really good push at guard either.
I get you. I understand exactly what you're saying. There'd be a lot of tackles that are 330, 320 that could, probably over a problem. But I'm just saying, if I thought that Richburg did a pretty good job, being a rookie at guard, and he wasn't even 300 pounds. I mean, I would say that Pugh would just at least a little bit of experience he had, and his size would help him at all. Period. But and if we put Schwartz at the right guard and go get a tackle that's one of those role grading tackles, I think we'll be fine.
Hey, look, Phil, you're right, and I made this point last week at one of the days I was on, I forget which one, but the Giants have already basically added a player on the offensive line this year, because Jeff Schwartz didn't play last year. He was your big investment in the offseason, is supposed to help the offensive line, never played it down. Well, we played one game, a couple plays, and that's it. So you're going to get him back this year. It's almost like adding a top guy in free agency again. So I'm not sure you have to go out there and add then another top guy in free agency. I think you have to add another skilled and talented player, but I don't think you need to add, a Brian Bulaga where you're spending $70 million on a top-notch tackle. You know what I'm saying?
What's the guy, Franklin? I thought he was a tackle.
Orlando Franklin.
On Bleacher Report said he's a tackle.
Yeah, you know what? I think he played both. I've seen him listed as a guard by most people. Pro Football Focus has him listed as a guard. I think he played guard last year, but I think he does have some experience playing tackle too.
What, do you think Mike Iapati, you think he'd be a lot of money too?
Iapati is kind of behind Franklin right now in terms of the list of guards from what I've seen. And here's the thing I like about Iapati.
He's pretty big to be a guard.
Iapati's a big boy, man. For the Niners, really excelled as a run blocker. Now, he struggled a little bit as a pass blocker if Pro Football Focus's numbers to be believed. But to me, I'll live with that. I want a guy here that's big, nasty, pushes the pile, helps you run the football. So I don't know how much Iapatio cost. Now, keep in mind, this is his first contract since he's been drafted. So that means he's in his prime. I think he's only 26 years old. You're going to get another 5 or 6 really good years out of him before he starts declining. So he's probably going to get a pretty decent contract, somewhere I would say in the $30 million area, something like that. So if you're going to want him, you're probably going to have to pay him.
I got one more thing. I mean, you know, my opinion on you know, that ninth pick, like, I wanted defense, but I look at it like this. With the Giants, you got to look at the offensive tackle isn't guaranteed to come in and be somebody that's going to be, you know, really good.
Yeah.
But you have, you know, talent that's proven in the free agency. There isn't any tackles in free agency that I can think of, and there isn't any linebackers besides, I think Spikes. If the Giants would like somebody like that, that's a free agent. So I mean, it's, you know, the defense is pretty much there in the draft, and in offense is more the line you could probably get in free agency. I would go that route.
All right,
more
Phil.
Guarantee for your money.
Appreciate it, my friend.
All right, man.
Take it easy. Hey, look, and this is a defense heavy draft. It's a defense heavy draft, so. If you want to take care of the offensive line in free agency and then go after a defensive players in the draft, I'm all for it. I'm not there yet with my strategy, guys. I'm still kind of developing this as I go along. And I'd be dumb to have my strategy picked out right now. It's February. The draft is for 2.5 months. I'm not settling on a strategy yet. I know what I need. Free agency's not even here yet. We'll see what they get, and then we'll decide what to do in the draft. But I do think, only because, again, I think there's right now, from what I've been able to tell by reading and, you know, getting a lot of the details on some of these guys coming out in the drafting, and this is just my opinion, there's probably one guy that I would pick in the top 10 in terms of offensive lineman. And you're picking ninth. Maybe he's not going to be there. So I can't put all my eggs in the draft basket when it comes to trying to improve my offensive line. So I'm probably going to have to do something in free agency there, one way, shape, or form. Now, I know at 9 that there's probably going to be a defensive lineman that I can pick that's going to help me. Now, you're not going to pick a 9, and you're not getting the big kid out of USC, Leonard Williams. That's not happening. But you can maybe get a Danny Shelton. You know, you can maybe get another one of these big defensive tackles that can help you. You can get the Fowler defensive end kid out of, you know, Florida State. Maybe he can do something out of Florida. Maybe he can do something for you. So, and then linebacker. I don't think any linebacker is going to be gone. You have your pick of the litter. Do you like Shaq Thompson? Do you like McKinney out of Mississippi? Those are guys you can look at too. So I like the options at 9 on defense better than in the offensive line. So honestly, right now, and again, I reserve the right to switch my plans. I would probably focus on offensive line and free agency and then go draft with defense. Charlie in Portland, Maine's up next. Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. Charlie, how are you?
I'm good. Snow's a-flying again, so we're getting another about a foot here. But
yeah, I hear you.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
Now, the Giants right now, can they franchise tag JPP?
You know what? I'm not sure when the franchise tagging period starts. I'm not sure if they're in the area now where they can do that yet. I honestly have to check that, Charlie. I'm not positive.
All right. Now, they can they start re-signing some of their own players? Or not re-signing, but they can right now. Can they redo Eli's contract right now?
I believe they can, yes.
All right. So why aren't they doing any of this?
How do you know they're not negotiating to do it right now?
They better be, because
I mean, they could be.
I mean, they got to, you know, the thing is, I'm so tired of hearing, like, if we have the money, if we have the money, if we have the money. If we extend Eli's contract and we end up cutting Kiwi and all these other people, we're going to have more than enough money to sign people that we really need in free agency. So, I mean, it's either we got to, does Jerry Reese have the will to do that? And I'm afraid he's just going to sit back and react, just like he did last year. let JPP and Roll go out in free agency. He's going to say, just like he said to Tuck, go ahead.
Well,
go
Charlie, hold on. I mean, Jerry Reese came out of the gates and was very aggressive in free agency last year. He didn't wait and react. He went out there and got the guys he wanted. He got Rashad Jennings. He got Jeff Schwartz. You know, he went out there and got those guys pretty early. By the way, the first day that teams can designate franchise players is February 16th, so that's next Monday.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yes.
All right. Let's see if they do that day one or day two. So then we know that we have actually a defensive end. Or are we going to have another hole that Jerry Reese is going to have to fill because JPP is going to be gone? You know, that's what he did last year. He created more holes than we need than we had because he let Tuck go, he let Will Hill go, he let Joseph go. I mean, I just see the same thing happening again. I just hope that he gets these deals done, gets the money there, so he knows that he can go out in free agency. Because we're never going to make the playoffs if we're just relying on the draft. We're going to get one or two players that are going to be able to come in and actually play and play really, really well in the draft. That's going to be it. And, you know, everyone, you know, thinks we had a great draft in 2013. I don't think we did. You know, if you look at Justin Pugh, he was the number one pick. And to me, this guy is not a number one pick. He's a good or, you know, suitable, you know, lineman.
Now, Charlie, keep in mind now that 2013 was widely considered as a weak draft. And a lot of people said in that draft, there were only about 10 to 15 players that truly had first-round grades on them. So you can only pick who's on the board.
Well, we picked for need. We didn't pick the best guy on the board. I don't care what they say. They didn't. There was other guys on the board.
All right, Charlie, finish up.
But, I mean, that's fine. That's what they did. But Pugh, to me, is never going to be a Pro Bowl tackle.
Hankins could be, though.
I don't see it. I mean, you know, you don't go down in your second year. You know, your first year as a rookie, he played well for a rookie. Then he goes into his sophomore year and he plays worse than he did in his rookie year. And he's playing at the same position. You know, it wasn't like they moved him and so he had to learn a whole new position over again. So I just don't see him being a number one pick. If I have a number one pick for a lineman, then he better be close to a Pro Bowl caliber player. And he's not. And for me, I look at it, the offensive line, we need to bring in a center, a veteran, we need to bring in a guard, and we need to bring in a right tackle. And the reason I'm saying that, and everyone's going to say, well, how about Richburg? We don't know if Richburg can play or not because he hasn't played his natural position.
Yeah, but you have to give him a chance to play his natural position, Charlie, before you move on from him.
Well, I'm not moving on, but we need depth. If we have a veteran that comes in and can beat Richburg out of that position, then damn, he's the second guy in. At least we got depth. We got him in depth. We bring in another guard, so then we have a right tackle. So then if he beats out Pugh, then Pugh is depth. Then we finally have some really decent line depth because you know we're going to get injuries because we always do, and we're going to have a bunch. So if we have that depth, if we bring in veterans, then we're going to have the depth we need if someone gets injured. And the thing is, I don't know if we're going to do that. I mean, everyone's saying all we need is one offensive lineman. That's not true. Brewer's got to go. Mosley's got to go. We got to have some real depth on this offensive line this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone.
Where we were.
I don't think anyone's arguing you don't add some depth at that position, Charlie.
But you got to add good depth. You can't add Charlie Brown.
I understand. I
hear what
you're saying.
You've got to have guys who can really compete and push the other guy. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Charlie.
That's why I would bring in some vets. That's it. And let's get the money situation going here. And let's not say we're not going to have the money because we could have $30 million over the cap if they do things right.
All right, Charlie, got to run.
Anyway. Okay, John.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
I got 5 minutes. I got to get two more calls in. That's been on hold for a while. I want to get to them. Ernest in Connecticut is up first. Ernest, long time no speak, my friend.
Hello. How's everything going today?
I'm doing well, Ernest. How are you?
Alrighty. I'm very much concerned about Rowe. Antrell Rowe has been a steady, solid safety. And I know he's 34 years old, but he's durable. he's still playing at a Pro Bowl level, even though he didn't have a very good year last year. But he's still, I think, one of the best safeties in the league.
Rowe's 32, by the way, Ernest. He's 32.
Oh, he's 32.
Yes.
And he's still in good shape. He's still better than most safeties. I think they need to pay him what they need to pay him for him to stay. I believe he could play till he's 40. And I'm not just saying that just you know, hypothetical. I believe that he could play until he's 40 years old. He's in very good shape. He's enthusiastic. He's a leader on that team. And they're trying to build a good defense. You can't build a defense when you're getting rid of good pieces of the puzzle. Then you got to come with unknowns, not knowing what they're going to do. They may fit or may not fit. When you have a solid, good leader there, that I believe that he could make the Pro Bowl next year if you have the right people around him. They need to bring him back. I mean, this man plays on the line. He could play in coverage. He does it all, and he's a solid hitter. He's just a good player.
Yeah, Ernest, I will say this. I agree. I think if you put better pieces around them, Roll would play better. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, he's a solid player. I mean, so I hope that they would get on the ball and just actually, like the gentleman said before me, just start, get rid of the dead weight, take that money and put it on people like Roll, JPP. And there's something else I want to say about him.
Yeah, real quick.
JPP. I watched him in 2011, and I watched how he played. JPP is playing the same way he played in 2011 that he's playing now. The only difference is, there's two big differences. He had Humanora and he had Chuck that were forcing a lot of those offensive linemen to double them, or they were chasing the quarterback to JPP's way. In other words, he didn't have to work nearly as hard then as he has now because the opportunities were there.
So you're saying his stats were – his stats were
not there like it was when those two guys are there. So he needs another player,
that's fair,
decent quality player, so that he can be the first that he was.
Sounds good, Ernest. Thanks for the call. Great points, my friend.
Okay, and you have a good weekend.
Hey, you too, buddy. Appreciate it. And look, I think – JPP stats and numbers were helped by having those other guys there, no doubt about it. Shakes, Baltimore, wrap us up, big man.
Hey, what's going on, John?
What's up, Shakes?
Oh, nothing much, man. Here's my thing. Danny Shelton. Everybody is screaming about Danny Shelton, and somebody had asked you about him earlier.
Yeah.
And you ain't really do too much evaluation that they brought to the fact that the guy had 9 sacks. And that's great. But see, his massive structure, he should be more dominant in the run game. He's still wrong. He's still learning. Don't get me wrong. He's good, and he's going to be good. But to me, I don't think that he's a top 10 pick yet. Now, I have to see more in the combine, of course.
Okay.
But I don't think that he's a top 10 pick. I like the guy Malcolm Brown from Texas, man. He wrecks havoc out there. I mean, havoc. I don't. They protected him to be more in the late first round. So, but that's right now. Man, that guy is good. If you ain't look at him yet, go look at him. Man. Malcolm Brown from Texas, man. He's nasty.
Yeah, right now I'm about halfway through the offensive side of the ball. I should get through offense next couple of days, and then I should get done with defense when I leave next Tuesday. So right now I'm on schedule. I decided to start with offense. I'm about halfway through my wide receivers at this point. But yeah, look, Malcolm Brown's another big guy. 6'2", 320 out of Texas. And from what I'm reading about Shelton here, just real briefly as I'm going through the show, he seems like he was a little bit inconsistent last year from game to game. You're saying Brown is a more consistent plugger?
Yeah. Well, he's not Shelton Brown stuff to run because he's so big, but he's a guy that gets constant pressure. And
he penetrates. He penetrates. I got you.
Yes, yes. And that's Malcolm Brown. You know I love penetration, man.
I know. Well, so basically, you would put Malcolm Brown as more of your three technique guy than your nose.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, you know what? When I get there, I'm going to take a quick look at all the really close look at all the D linemen and linebackers. I think the D linemen, too, you learn a lot about them from some of those agility drills and strength drills at the combine, maybe a little more than some of those other positions, too.
Yep. And last thing, linebackers, of course, y'all know I like Shaq Thompson and I love Denzel Perryman. Now, me and my boys on the Takedown Show, we got a little friendly little, friendly little debate on who we should take. And I want Denzel Perryman, so you know I'm going Team Perryman. And my man J-Rock wants Paul Dawson. So I want you to check out Paul Dawson from TCU, linebacker.
Well, I can tell you, just off the top, and I've actually just read briefly about both those two guys. I like your guy better because he's bigger, he's better against the run, and I think that is a better fit for what the Giants need, in my opinion.
Okay, good. All right, man. And I'll call back tomorrow. You on tomorrow?
Yes, I should be with you tomorrow. Then I think P-Dot's coming in Wednesday. I'm trying to get Lanson on Thursday. And I might co-host with them Wednesday, Thursday, too. I don't have a whole lot going on this week.
Okay.
Thanks, Shakes.
Right, we'll talk more, man. I want to talk about Landon Collins tomorrow, too. So I'll let you.
I will be ready.
All right.
Got it. Thank you, bud.
All right, man.
Great job on the phones, everybody. Great job on Twitter. I'll try to get more of your tweets tomorrow. I appreciate it. Everybody, excellent work. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Everybody, have a good one.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.